So I want to welcome you to this second installment on Christian community at Church of the Redeemer on Wednesday nights, as we're talking about life groups, why we're moving in this direction with life groups, what are life groups, and then as we begin to walk through equipping and teaching and talking about the things that members and leaders and those considering life groups need to know. So as we begin this evening, I'd like you to bow your heads with me, and I'm going to open us in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are on your throne, that you are the King of Kings, the resurrected Messiah, and we give you all honor and glory. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you invite us to be a part of your work, your kingdom work here on earth. I thank you, Lord God, that through Jesus Christ we are restored in relationship with you, and that we are therefore on mission together as your people. Holy Spirit, be present with us as we talk, as we share, and as we learn. Guide this time. And we pray these things in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So on your table you have a couple pieces of paper, and I'd like you to have, they're all on the table. So just grab one of the three tables if you're just coming in. So the things that we have the sheet that talks about life groups. And we're going to be talking through this sheet in terms of review. What are life groups about? The second sheet has to do with some scripture references that we're going to be taking a look at. And the third sheet is our inductive Bible study sheet. And I don't know that we're going to be talking about that tonight, but we are going to be talking about it in the upcoming weeks. There's also blank paper there, so you can take notes or draw pictures if you're finding your mind wandering. Use the materials however you would like to. But to start, I want to start with an exercise, as we did last week. And tonight the exercise is going to be, seek out someone that you don't know that well. And even if it's somebody that you do know that well, but the two questions that you're going to ask this person, like it to be one-on-one, and I think we're fairly evenly matched, we're close. There might be one group of three. But like you to ask either what college or what school did you go to, and what did you major in? And learn something about that person. And just kind of see where the conversation goes. This is about being known with each other. So I'm going to let you just divide up now. I'm going to pause the recorder. If you're an introvert, you can wait for one of the extroverts to find you, or just stand up and find somebody. But there's the assignment, and we'll rejoin it in a couple minutes. Now that we're rejoining the conversation, and there was a whole lot of individual conversations going around, what I want to ask is, I'm just going to put Michael Del Charco on the spot. And I'm going to ask, what was one thing that you learned about John that had nothing to do with the question that you asked?
He worked as a medical journalist.
Okay. Which had nothing to do with where he went to school or... So, someone else, what's something that you learned about the person that had nothing to do with the question? So he read a good book.
He did. Well, The Sacred Marriage, it sounds like it. I just saw it online today for the first time when I was looking at Family Life Today for something.
Okay.
So the Lord's doing something.
So where'd you go to school and what'd you major in? One other person. Something that you learned that was significant that had nothing to do with the question.
I introduced people. We're not supposed to know each other.
Yeah.
So I introduced myself as Bill.
That's okay.
Totally.
But see, that leads into the point of part of community is being known. And being known can start with just a very basic question that's not personal, that doesn't get to anything. But very quickly, especially as there's been prayer over the gathering beforehand, God will lead those conversations into much deeper waters, much more significant waters, so that you're known. So in each of those conversations, I know each of you feels known a little better, a little closer to whoever it was that you didn't know. And that's one of the core reasons that Jesus calls us into community with each other. We're not intended to do it alone. So it's a follow-up on the exercise that we did last week, that similarly, you're now more known with each other than maybe with people you've been worshiping in the sanctuary with for years. Even though you recognize them and you may know their names, but you're more deeply known now, just in that short period of time. Listening is crucial, though, because I know for me, I'm thinking about the next thing I'm saying. And you may catch something in the midst of that conversation that can lead to a follow-up conversation. You know, you mentioned this. I heard that. And it may lead to ministry. It may lead to, you know, I haven't talked to anybody about this. You don't know how God's going to use these little conversations that we have. So this past week, and if you missed the teaching this past Wednesday, we've got it posted online. It was a whole lot about why we're focusing on life groups. What is the purpose of Christian community? And why are we leaning into that? And I'm not going to get into all of those things, but we are going to review this sheet called Life Groups at Redeemer. Because as we looked at it last week, it talks about the vision, and then it talks about the four essential values. And so I'm going to walk over here, and I'm going to ask Lynn to read the vision for life groups.
The vision. To grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, with one another, and with our community by living life together, learning together, serving together, and praying together.
The body of Christ is much more than what we do on Sundays or what we do in a large group gathering. And as Scripture is our model, we're to grow with one another, with community, living life together, caring for one another and serving one another and praying together. So one of the questions that was asked in the midst of as we were planning for this is, but we've done small groups before. How are life groups different? And that's what we're going to be unpacking for these 5 weeks, 5 weeks that are left, including tonight. These aren't a revolutionary new idea that we read a book and now we're doing that. It's not apples and oranges to our old home groups or to the small group Bible studies that we've done in the past. It's a different kind of apple. There are going to be some different aspects that there's going to be focus on. There's going to be some unity in the groups in terms of essential values, but then flexibility in terms of how those are lived out in the different groups. So it's a different kind of apple. And that's why we're taking this time to talk through it so that we can all be on the same page as we move forward. The other thing we discussed was there will be freedom. If there's a group that says, but we want to continue doing what we were doing before, then that's okay. We are not shuttering everything that was in the past and everybody has to do what's new. We may not call it a life group. We may have just Bible studies. We may have other groups that are meeting for other reasons. But in terms of the life groups and the leaders and those communities and the teaching, and as we move forward, we're going to have shared values and a shared core of knowledge, and that's what we're working towards. So the four essential values of life groups. As we look at the sheet, we've got them all. What's the first one? Welcome. What's another word?
Hospitality.
Some use the word fellowship. Some will say breaking bread together. That's where all of the groups will begin. And it's going to begin with a sharing of a simple meal, refreshments, sweet treat, coffee, something that you're sharing together, and there's a consuming going on of food. And we'll get to that. We're going to talk tonight. We're going to focus in on the first essential value tonight. Welcome, fellowship, hospitality. So that's the first value that we want to see in every life group, or we want to see that life group moving towards that if they don't already have it. The second value, I'll ask Rebecca.
We walk with each other, caring for each other. We are the church.
This is caring for each other, walking with each other. And the core value there, if I were to put it in one word, well, if anyone else would like to put it in one word, what words come to mind as you look through the scriptures that are listed there for walking with each other?
Caring.
Caring. How do we care? What are the activities that we do together as we care? Okay, I'll give a leading question. What's the most powerful thing we can do with one another?
Pray. Pray.
There it is. Prayer, that there will be time to not only share, but to stop, humble ourselves before God together and to pray. So we've got hospitality and fellowship. Then we have prayer, walking with each other, being known and caring for one another. To be prayed for, there had to have been something shared. You can pray in general, but that's not what we're talking about. Being known and praying for each other. The third key value, I'm going to ask Mickey.
Read the word together, learning to discern and listen.
God's word will be featured somewhere in the midst of the life group. And some may enter into, you know, we want to talk about this portion of scripture. We're going to work through a study on this topic. There may be different ways to address scripture, but there will be scripture. As we talk about that in later weeks, we'll talk about what are the pros and cons of having an in-depth Bible study and having something that's accessible. You know, if we're hospitable, if we're open to those coming in that may have never been in a church, never touched a Bible, how can we do that in such a way, reading God's word, that's accessible, that still honors the power of God's word, but that someone can just bring a friend to experience the group? And, well, this is what we do. We start with a meal. This is what we do. We now open God's word. We talk about a scripture and how we might do that together. And that gets into kind of the inductive Bible study method that we talk about that will be a guide. There will be different ways to do it. Bob, you were going to ask a question?
Yeah. Did you say to be accessible? What did you mean by that?
Imagine you've never really gone to church. You know a little bit about church. Someone invites you to a group and they say, okay, now we're going to open the book of Revelation. Let's hand Reggie a Bible and look back towards the back. We're going to be looking at verse. I don't know what verse numbers are. I don't know what. Immediately there's a barrier.
Right.
So how do we preach God's word, have it in front of us, address it as God's scripture, but remove some of the barriers that might be there? Of course, others will have their Bibles there. Of course, we'll be ready. But if we have a guest come in, we're prepared.
Make it user-friendly.
Yeah, user-friendly. And because the person that is there may say, well, gosh, I've never been a part of a group like this. I might want to come back. You know, if we put up lots of barriers, and this is an in-depth, so we're reading, what did you guys study in your group? Yeah, Ezekiel. We're now in Ezekiel 4. It might just be a little deep. But you can still talk about Ezekiel in this. But how do we handle it in such a way that we can do that? So, three. Now, what's our fourth core value?
Together.
We reach the world together. This is where missional activity comes together. Now, when you say mission in a group of Christians, I guarantee you just in this room, there are 9 different ideas of what that looks like. Wait, are we going to Africa? Does this mean we're serving the homeless? Does this mean I'm teaching in Sunday school? We're going to talk about what mission is and what it means to have a sense of mission within your group, that you're actively talking about it, planning for it, preparing for it. So there are the 4 essential values of life groups. Now going to move into a discussion of fellowship. And We may get to the discussion on the kingdom of God, but if you pick up the list of scriptures, fellowship and breaking bread. Actually, pause that. Put that down. I had a question for those of you who have been in life groups before or who are in life groups. What are ways that you've seen either God work or God move just in the context of fellowship? How has God used a meal to do something within your context where you thought, gosh, God did something and we didn't expect that? Or where you saw God working in lives just over the course of a meal. Does anyone have a testimony or how fellowship's been used to build their community? Mickey.
We had in our life group, we had a Jewish guy who had converted, and as we broke bread together and fellowshiped, he mentioned the fact that he had never seen such openness, acceptance, and love in community. And that was all new to him.
And that was just in the course of a meal.
That was in the course of a meal.
Any other?
We have someone that was coming in, and mainly just because it was mostly social, and they have not been coming to church in quite a while and stuff, but they felt comfortable coming just because it was social. And then in reaching out when they had a need, they felt free enough to call some of the members to have them help, and that was great. And
so they were there for the food and the social and seeing people, and then they had a need.
Yep.
And then the group responded and loved them through through service. One more? Just because we're talking about a meal and, oh, hold on.
I have one. It's not from a recent life group, but I saw just a simple opening our home for a meal for this group consistently. One member was a very new mom, and it was the only outside of her home activity that she did all week that gave her life. And so just that, just a simple taco dinner that we did the same week. I mean, I literally did almost the same meal every week and just switched it up a little bit because it was centered around a group of teenagers and it was sort of a drop-in thing, and you never knew how many were coming. And so it was one of the people associated with a member coming who she just came and sat in my kitchen and didn't even participate with the rest of but it was just enough to have social interaction with other human being adult people.
So it brought life to this person who was otherwise isolated.
Right.
And that's where that invitation can change the course of a week or a month. So as we're talking about fellowship, again, hospitality, breaking bread together, here's what I want you to do in your small groups. I want you to take a look at the scriptures that are here, and these are not exhaustive. So if one of these scriptures leads you to another scripture, that's okay. It's not out of bounds. But I want you to be thinking about, I put them up there in a random order, but who, what, where, why, and how regarding fellowship. What do we see in Scripture as we look at the early church, as we look at Jesus' teaching, as we look at what Scripture challenges us to do and what those who've gone before us have done? And I want you to think about, what does fellowship mean? How should we be looking at this from a scripture? What are the core values that we see in fellowship? And if you want to take it a little bit further, you can think about where might you see pastoral care in action just in fellowship or growing in faith or teaching or equipping or serving. So at the first level, what are the important things about fellowship? As you're reading those scriptures together and as you're talking, So this is a group activity. You may want to do it as a table. You may want to do it in smaller groups at your table. But I'm going to give you a little bit of time to think through that, and then we're going to come back together and share what grabbed your attention and what are the values that you see jumping out that we need to be about as God's people. So I'm going to pause it again, and we'll come back in a couple minutes. Now that we've gathered back together, and I turn the recorder back on, we're going to begin to share what you found in these scriptures on regarding fellowship, hospitality, and breaking bread together, the first essential value for life groups. And the context, as we discussed, are who, what, where, why, and how. You may have a key word or a phrase or something that jumped out to you. But I'll let just one of the tables, we'll go between the tables, but one of the tables, what's one of the concepts that you noticed and where would you kind of file it under?
We'll take the easy one.
Yeah.
We have Acts 2:42 for 500. So they were listening, they were devoting themselves.
Okay.
One thing, to the apostles' teaching, so there's teaching, the fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer.
Okay, so where would you file that under?
So what they were doing was
what?
Devoting themselves to teaching.
That's one thing. That's what I was looking for. How about another thing?
We got aware of the same prayer.
Yeah.
They're meeting in each other's homes.
Okay, so where is in homes?
We're not going to the church.
Okay.
But I would say along with the devoted teaching, I would say it's a how. They were devoted. They devoted themselves. So that's how they were committed to being a part of these teachings. Do you have the word how?
Mm-hmm.
Putting it under
devoted and I didn't write devoted.
But it could be a how.
It could be a how.
That's what we were saying.
Ah. Got it? You want to bring the second one in your paragraph since you had a couple what's? We may as well go through the rest of those. So you have teaching.
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Well, I think it's interesting that fellowship and breaking of bread is different. They make a distinction between the two. So I wonder what the definition of fellowship is. Is it like mission? Is it a word that can mean different things to different people? Yeah.
That's a good question. They were devoted to the fellowship as a noun, the body, the group, or they were engaged in fellowship as a verb. But there's one gaping thing missing. I was pretty sure I heard Jane say it. What's really important, Jane?
Bread.
Yeah, I heard her very loudly say, food. I heard that. As we read through these, you see there's food. What else, either key concepts or terms? We haven't really hit any. We've got a one where.
We're doing it regularly.
So when? We don't have when up there.
Did you ask?
How could be how day by day. Day by day.
Yep. Daily. That this isn't something that you just do once a week. This is an ongoing process with those that you're in community with. Okay.
All that came out of their day by day, getting together,
so,
receiving the food.
So byproducts.
That might be why.
What verse was that in?
That's still part of the Acts 2:42-47.
So the byproducts. Name them again.
Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food.
Yeah, did they grow by keeping a closed group that no one could enter? Every day by day. So that could be a who. Who do we see as we break bread together in homes day by day? Who is revealed? Yep. That's right. There you go. Intimacy. So where would intimacy fall? I think it's a byproduct. Maybe it's why, because it results in intimacy as a why. Being known. That could go in either one.
Signs and wonders under the what?
Aha. So that's another. There were miracles happening in the course of this, breaking bread together. Has God changed?
No.
Has His word changed? Should we be surprised? If we would see those things in action. In the Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 passage, I noticed a why there. Why are we meeting together? So encouragement. We got encouraging, but encouragement. But there's another why. But there's, Paul says, you better do this, doesn't he? Does anybody have a different version of the Bible? Which one do you have? Oh, you have them all. See what the NIV says for that Hebrew passage. This is all the ESV. Right, but that's, yeah, do not stop meeting together as is the habit of some. Some people have got the habit of not meeting together. It's to reverse that. Yep. Not giving up meeting together. I think there was a version that said, do not stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing.
Neglect not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner
right.
of some is.
It says, let us not give up.
Yes. Encouraging one another all the more. There's another what in the Acts passage at the bottom. And this gets into the second part of verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. There's a serving each other going on as well that was very important. They said, we need to set aside some to handle this service, to make sure not just that the food's getting distributed, but that we're not just all talking amongst ourselves and leaving someone out, that we're serving body, mind, and soul each other. Acts chapter 6, 1 through 3, and then I said...
Okay. It also might have something to do with discernment of gifts. So if your gift is hospitality, then you may be serving table. But if your gift is preaching, then you should be preaching.
Right. There are other gifts mentioned there, and primary gifts.
The theme that we saw just overall is every time people got together, broke bread together, Jesus present, their numbers grew. People believed. And I'm
memorized every passage, and the Lord added to their number, and they had to appoint more people, and so it just, that combination yields growth, different from just having a meal that doesn't have Jesus as a part of it.
So we would be doing this to make the church bigger, right?
Yeah.
To get more attendance. Isn't that what the priority is?
Draw more people to Jesus.
So what do we want to see grow here?
Kingdom.
I kind of gave it away with the other side with all those verses. We're not going to get into the kingdom of God. Not tonight, I don't think. Because we're going to be done in 15 minutes. But what's growing here? The body of Christ, the kingdom of God is in our midst, Jesus proclaimed. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. When we're born again, we are members of God's kingdom on earth. And as we gather together, as we break bread together, others see. Mickey, I think you mentioned an outsider saw this love, saw this care. They'll observe the conversations. That it's not just, hey, how are you doing? How are the Jaguars doing? But as you begin to meet together, it's, you know, you mentioned last week and other ears will hear it. Gosh, they really care about each other. Or they'll join once and the member who was just there for the food will say, I can't believe that you all showed up in that time of need and helped me. What I've heard it say, where someone will be talking about the meals that were shared or meals were delivered during a hard time. And you'll hear one of their other friends say, boy, I wish somebody had made me meals. How do I get in on that?
It's also a very Southern
way. Well, but in the North, they still do meals for new moms. And
yeah, we do that in the North, too.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'll say I lived in Pittsburgh, and in 1976, I was just talking to my mom. We had a family member in Kim's family pass away this past weekend, and I was talking with my mom. My kids are all grieving in different ways. It's the first family member that they knew who died. Now it was an aunt they didn't see a lot, and we weren't really close to, but they're all grieving. And I said, I remember when my grandfather died when I was in sixth grade. I remembered where I was, either when I heard about it or when I told someone about it. I said, what was I doing in this high school in the hallway because I wasn't at church? What was I doing? And my mom said, oh, yeah, the church was under construction, so all of the kids were going to Sunday school at this school. So I had no idea why I was there, but I remembered. And she said, I remember because we found out late Saturday night and Sunday morning, three members from the church showed up with a bowl of fruit, a bunch of bagels. So this is 1976. And they said, we're going to handle hospitality. You just sit here and talk with people. They just showed up at their house on Sunday morning. They didn't go to church. And so what did that say to my parents who, that might have been 78, but we had only been at the church for a few years. They weren't really known. And these people are showing up. The community came in. Do you think my parents were quick to leave that church? It's a way that we care for each other. I'm just looking through here. You guys have picked up on all of those things. Another part of the what that I saw, we see it in Jesus along the road with the two disciples, and we see it. What was that?
There was this longing to not leave each other, that stay with us, and it was one more time, but I don't remember where. Where Paul prolonged his message, like they started with something, and it was like nobody wanted to leave.
No, but that's that can be a what, which is there a time limit? Right. But when you have new people, I think there needs to be a flexibility. There needs to be a willingness to say, we're going to end at this time so that you're not stuck here forever. You know, this isn't a death sentence for you. We don't know when this is going to end. You know, we're going to end, but as you enter into the fellowship time, you may want to come back and revisit something because, you know, I need to know more about that. There's something about what you said that I need to ask them another question.
But isn't it also something that there was a desire to not leave? Like, that's a mark of that group. Yes.
A mark of the group not wanting to leave.
Knitting together parts.
Yes, and there's also maybe anticipation of wanting to be there.
Right.
I look forward to that night
right.
because those are my peeps.
Right.
That's what that conveyed to me, not just... Yeah, we need to be mindful of the time, but that there was a desire.
That gets to the devoted piece. That's they were devoted to one another. They were mm-hmm. committed, and they...
The Acts, and then when you look at the Luke passage, too, where they said, stay with us, it's that sense of staying together.
Yes. Yeah. It started with a conversation, and that's what I was getting at, was conversations. It started with a conversation along the road, and then they wanted more, and they continued that conversation through the meal. And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus was revealed to them. That it's not just sports, it's knowing and being known, listening. Being very un-American, it's not fixing. We're not all coming together so we can solve each other's problems. And that's where, as leaders and as members, I'm a fixer. But sometimes... Yeah. Sometimes, as my better half will say, stop fixing. I just want you to listen. Wait until I say, do you have any ideas? Or call me tomorrow with the ideas after you've listened. And actually, I know that you've listened. That we want to be careful not to just be distributing info. Here's the latest book. I can go that way very quickly. Here's a book that will fix that. No, it won't fix that, but it might give you some ideas. That we would be careful in that time to really be listening to the Holy Spirit. That, you know what, they mentioned something, I think there's more pain below that, but now's not the time. And then you call for a cup of coffee a day later, and you say, I heard what you said. Do you know how powerful those words are? When someone shares their heart or is in a vulnerable place, and 2 days later, you say, you know, I said I'd pray for you. I actually was. Can we grab a cup of coffee? Because I want to know more. Instead of what we sometimes do is I'll be praying for you. And then we do, but we may not ever check back in again. Or there may be a long time, the caring that's conveyed. As we learn how to do this together. And then as we give testimony to what God does, the fellowship is going to grow. We're going to be utilizing testimonies in the midst of worship more often from life groups as other members of the church hopefully will hear, I want a piece of that. I don't have that anywhere else. God will birth that yearning, that longing. Was there anything else that jumped out at you as we walked through fellowship? We have about 6 minutes. The key values that I believe play into the importance for life groups of in-homes, of regularly, not just weekly. And it may be breaking bread in various ways. There may be, there will always be food. And there may be prayer, there may be teaching, there may be sharing, there may be testimonies. The fellowship may be extended one night. You may not get to the scriptures. It's okay. We have one group that has met for over a year, and they've been focused on building relationships over the meals, and they're just turning the corner into now we're going to begin to have scripture. They're on the trajectory. Just because they didn't have all four things right then, they're a life group. They were intentional about how they were modeling that for their people. And then the why, that the byproducts are going to be gladness, generosity, praising God, intimacy and being known, encouragement, and most of all, growth of God's kingdom. This isn't just oh yeah, we're going to have snacks. And as I reflected on these things, it's important for whether it be the host or whether it be the members. I believe it's really important that as you're coming near to that meeting, to pray. To pray for God to be present. To pray for God to move in the lives of the other members, that they might invite someone if God's leading them to. Or that they might be willing to share whatever it is that's bothering them or struggling. That you'd, if you're hosting, pray, Holy Spirit, prepare this place. Give us ears to hear each other and not just on a surface so that we could be known. It's not just about the food, but more importantly, it's about God's kingdom. Yes?
Can I say something? Almost every home group, life group I've ever hosted, there's drama or catastrophe that hits my household within an hour of people arriving. I can almost set my clock by it. Or we'll know it must be the day for us to host the life group because such and such, so and so is having a meltdown or the car died or the dishwasher broke or just, it's just something that the enemy doesn't enjoy. So I don't know if that's a warning or just an invitation to take that prayer advice or that encouragement seriously.
That is an important thing for leaders and hosts. That's one of the reasons that if you look at the list for on the back, that we want 2 by 2, that there isn't just one leader that's responsible for everything. Because there will be spiritual attacks. There will be things that happen. There will be these challenging things. And you need to be a team. And you need to be ready for that. So that you can, with a smile, say, well,
everything got burned.
So what do we have that we can put out because the oven malfunctioned or because the food didn't arrive or whatever may have happened? That you can be prepared and say, here we go. Rather than, oh! Because the people that are arriving are going to have you're going to have all sorts of stuff. Sometimes. And there will be sweet times in the midst of that. So, but it's being prepared for that. Not going in blind. This is going to be so easy for you as a leader. No, it may be really hard, but sometimes those difficult things are worth it.
I think some of the things people who are coming to the home group, I mean, Satan will try to keep them from coming. And they'll have, I'm not sure I really want to come. But many of them will break through that. Other people will have, just as Kim was talking about, in their lives have something blow up that day. But they will come. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect because Satan led them right into where Jesus wanted them.
Yeah.
So that they could be ministered to at the
As we talk about spiritual battle and spiritual warfare, the verse that comes to mind for me is the scripture in Ephesians about putting on the armor of God. And we're going to close with this. Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people and the cars and the things of this world, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers. There is an enemy, and especially when you begin to move in the direction that God's calling you to move, the enemy will not be happy. So we are to put on the full armor of God, not so that we'll always be protected, because none of the armor protects your back. A lot of it's offensive if you read that. It's on front, and it doesn't cover everything, but so that you could stand firm. You can stand firm in what God's called you to do. You can stand firm and listen. That you can minister peace and love even when you're dying in a pile. God can do those things. And then when you're willing to risk and be vulnerable, others then will be able to minister to you. So that closes our portion on fellowship. And Sheila, can I ask you to close us in prayer?
Lord, thank you for this group tonight. Thank you for showing up and for speaking to us through your scriptures, for showing us the importance of groups and the importance of fellowship. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to instruct us in this topic. And Father, I pray that you would raise up new leaders for new groups, that we would multiply and grow, and that all of our community would be gathering together in life groups. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all as you go. And if you want to linger because you're yearning, you're hungering for this time together, feel free.